So as I said earlier, we will be changing the readings that are in your bulletin today. The reading will be on page 1607 through 1608 in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verses 42 through 48. We're entering the scripture reading just after Jairus had gone to Jesus, told him about his 12-year-old daughter being sick, and where the point that we're at right now in the scripture is when Jesus is making his way through throngs of people to Jairus' home. As he went, the crowd pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from a flow of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all she had on physicians, no one could cure her. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. Then Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the clouds are hemming you in and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I noticed the power had gone out from me." When the woman realized she could not remain hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Now, as I was reading that scripture, what kept going in my mind, first of all, was, now here is a woman who is confident in God. She believes and has faith in God, or at least this man or prophet, whoever he is that is walking around healing anyone and everyone. Whether she has heard about Jesus or has seen him heal before, she is confident he can cure her and acts on that belief. She hasn't read about him or discussed him in a Bible study group. She has only word of mouth to go by, and that has given her the confidence to act, to know that if she can just touch his clothes, she will be healed, that she will be favored. What inspires us to have that kind of confidence in the world we live in today? God, Jesus, Yahweh, the Holy Spirit? Yes, God is still speaking, but is that where our confidence lies? Or is it our money in the bank? The number of subscribers to our YouTube channel? Or how many views our TikTok posting draws? Or do we gain confidence by owning the biggest, the best, the most expensive anything? And then do we allow the confidence in these things to drive our actions? The hemorrhaging woman in today's scripture was an outcast. She had been forced into separation from her friends, family, loved ones, and society for 12 years. In Leviticus, we read that when a woman of ancient times had their flow, they were unclean. They had to remain in seclusion until it ceased, separate from everyone and everything. If she touched someone or sat somewhere and someone else sat there afterwards, they were then unclean. Be assured that if the afflicted woman in today's reading had at any time a spouse or family or friends, she lost them when her affliction could not be healed and she was cast out. She was alone, probably anemic because of the loss of blood, desperate and drained of vitality, drained of life. And yet her limited knowledge of Jesus led her to believe, to have confidence in his ability to heal. She may have heard about Jesus from other society outcasts, such as the lepers or the possessed, because Jesus was healing, dining with, teaching to, and fraternizing with everyone. There were no limits to his accepting and loving ministry. She had confidence and belief in his ability to help her, and she had a plan. This could have so easily gone astray. Multitude of people, throngs pressing in, jostling, maybe even shoving. Those who are less desirable in a society, such as this woman, are often victims of violence. She could have been pushed or tripped or worse. Yet she followed Jesus, chasing toward him no matter the boundaries she faced, until she stretched out her hand, touching just his clothes, and she was healed. Did she expect him to heal her spirit also? When Jesus was asking who touched him, she started to tremble as she was afraid. But by calling her out, "Who touched me?" Jesus gifted her further with the healing words of, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Imagine being forced into separation from all you know and love, isolated and outcast for 12 years, and then not only physically healed, but called out as daughter, loved one, wishes of happiness given, a statement verifying your new well-being and confirmation of no ill will, but instead peace. You may have heard the saying, you can't run from God. But what if we did what the woman in the scriptures did? How would it reflect on each of us personally, our families, our communities, our world, if we had the confidence to chase after God, to run towards him for everything, for healing, for joy, to share our sorrow, for peace, with questions, our problems, our hopes, our sins, to express our love and adoration, give thanks, to seek help and guidance. Think about it. Having the confidence to run towards God with abandon and reaching. During one of the lectures, in my preaching class, the professor announced, "I am God's favorite." Just like that. Bold as brass. Confident as could be. Well, in the duration of a few nanoseconds, my thought process worked overtime. My brain was speechless at first with an "oh" or a "well." And my first feeling was of dismay, because I never knew God had a favorite. And then I felt actual shock, because I was thinking, wow, someone thinks pretty highly of themselves, mistaking what they said as an expression of personal conceit. I continued thinking, and here I thought they were so genuine, good, down to earth. Then I began rationalizing. That's my go-to. This reverend doctor started hearing the Holy Spirit and began preaching when they were only a child. They had been preaching ever since, and presently they're the senior pastor of their congregation. It would make sense that God favored them. They deserved it. Though in comparison, I wasn't feeling really good about myself. Remember, this all transpired in my head in a blink of an eye. I was pulled back to the reality of the lecture by the voice of a sister student from the back room. "So am I. I'm God's favorite." And the professor half shouted, "Yes!" That was the truth my professor wanted us to realize. We are all, each and every one of us, God's favorite. Confidence in God, no matter who we are. In the scripture verses before and after today's reading, respectively, Jesus drove out a legion of demons from a man, and yes, the young girl, Jairus' daughter, who was ill, did not die, and Jesus did die, and then Jesus brought her back and saved her. Pretty diverse group within those few lines of scripture, and each and every one of them favored by God, showing that no matter who we are each God's favorite. Be confident in God. Confidence motivates. The woman in the scripture reading was confident Jesus would heal her. She was motivated by that confidence to take action. Again, she could have known Jesus through hearing about him or seeing him minister to others while preaching. That's all she had to cling to, and from that, she had the confidence, maybe fueled by desperation, to take action. She wasn't part of a Christian community. They didn't exist yet. No one was supporting her plan of action. She was a stranger to Jesus. Yet she had the confidence to believe Jesus would heal her. Jesus would favor her. Some of us, maybe most of us, have a community, support from others, and don't consider God a stranger as we strive to build our relationship with God. So with these advantages, what is your confidence level? Her confidence, belief in this stranger, prompted her to take action. What will your confidence in God lead you to do? What person will it lead you to be? I pray that each of you, one time or numerous times, whether silently or by shouting or any volume level in between, will state, "I am God's favorite," feeling God's unconditional love and acceptance. Experience that power and strength. Be confident in God. Amen.